Nowhere Boy. Adapted by Paul Shipton. Copyright Lennon Films Limited, Channel 4 Television and UK Film Council. All rights reserved. Published by Scholastic Limited as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. Nowhere Boy. Chapter 1. Glasses John. John was running. He was wearing his school uniform, and he was running as fast as he could past the stone entrance of one of the grand old buildings in Liverpool city centre. He looked quickly over one shoulder. There was nobody behind him, but he could hear them. Hundreds, thousands of people, and they were all shouting and screaming for him. John laughed as he ran down the steps. He had never felt so alive. John? John? John's eyes opened to early morning light. His aunt was standing over his bed, and as usual, she did not look happy. Do I ignore you? Mimi said. There was a note of anger in her voice. No, so please do not ignore me. I have called you twice. Now, hurry up, or you'll be late for school. She sighed and left the room. School. School wasn't one of John's favourite places. 15 minutes later, he was dressed and sitting at the breakfast table alone with the newspaper. The room was extremely tidy. Everything had its place. John had never seen newspapers on the floor or dirty plates left on the table. Aunt Mimi liked order. John looked up from his paper as Uncle George walked in, singing to himself, as he always did in the mornings. He pulled something from his pocket and placed it in front of John, a shiny, new harmonica. George nodded at the instrument. Very expensive, he said. Really? No. They both laughed. George moved closer. First lesson, tonight, 8 o'clock. Don't be late. John reached over the table and gave his uncle a hug. It was easy to have fun with his uncle. He wished it could be the same with his aunt. John looked up at the clock. His friend Pete was probably outside the house already. Every day before school, Pete came to call for him on his bike. As John pushed his own bicycle out, he heard a knock from the front window. He knew why. Every day, they followed the same routine. He turned. Mimi was standing there. She made circles with her fingers and thumbs, and held them up to her eyes. Glasses, John, she shouted. Glasses, John, repeated Pete with a laugh. John hated wearing glasses, but he took them out of his pocket and put them on. As soon as they were around the next corner, he took his glasses off again. He wondered if Mimi knew that. Outside the house, John was a different person. He was always ready with a joke, and if a joke hurt someone's feelings, that wasn't his problem. As he and Pete cycled on, they rode past three older boys from their school. One of them was taller and heavier than his two friends. Oh, you, John shouted to him. Keep out of the chip shop. The older boy shouted something angrily back. He thinks he's tough, said Pete with a laugh. Who cares? Said John as they rode on. He could have asked the same question all through the school day. Who cares? Not John. He didn't care if the teachers got angry, because he was drawing and writing jokes and stories in class instead of paying attention. He didn't care when he was sent to the head teacher's office yet again. The head teacher, Mr. Popjoy, looked at John coldly. John Lennon was not the kind of student he liked to have in his school. You'll be lucky if you get a job in the docks, he told John. You're going nowhere. Nowhere here at school, and nowhere in life generally. John knew what Mr. Popjoy wanted. He was hoping that John would apologise and say that he'd try harder. That wasn't John's style. Instead, he looked the head teacher right in the eye. Is nowhere full of geniuses, sir? Because if it is, I probably belong there. That evening, Mimi sat alone in the sitting room, a cigarette in one hand and a book in the other. The sound of Tchaikovsky on the radio filled the room. Laughter came from the stairs as John and George joked together. Mimi didn't join them. She didn't even look up from her book. They were putting a speaker up on the wall in John's room so that he could hear the radio from downstairs in his own bedroom. Finally, John pressed the button upstairs and the sound of Tchaikovsky filled his room.
Mimi, it works!
John ran to the top of the stairs.
Can we see if something else is on?
He wanted some music to match his excitement, not more of Mimi's classical music. His aunt's answer came up from the sitting room. She sounded as if she was explaining something very obvious to a little child.
No, John, we do not turn Tchaikovsky over.
Another rule of the house. But John was too excited to care. As he ran back to his room, he didn't notice how tired his uncle was looking. Later that evening, George was still in John's bedroom. John was lying on the bed, feet up on the wall. He loved having the radio speaker in his room. He and his uncle were both laughing as they listened to a comedy programme, one of his favourites. George had poured himself a drink from a small bottle. John reached for the glass.
You'll get me in trouble, said George.
John smiled.
You're always in trouble.
What? With Mimi? Don't be silly.
John shook his head. He was still smiling, but he wasn't joking now.
She never looks happy, he said.
Well, she's married to me, George joked.
He stood up.
Your programme's on, and the pub's waiting for me.
He took a step to the door, but he didn't reach it. The next moment, he fell forwards onto the floor. John started laughing again. His uncle could never be serious for long. But then he realised that George wasn't moving. This wasn't another of his little jokes. It was real. John could hear the note of fear in his voice as he said,
Uncle George?
Time stood still. Then everything seemed to happen slowly, at a distance. John didn't move. There was Mimi running to the phone, then the sound of the ambulance as it broke the silence of their quiet street. John felt helpless. He could only stand and watch as his uncle was carried into the ambulance. Several neighbours had come out to see what was going on. Mimi was doing the buttons on her coat and checking her hat.
He's just had a fall, she told them. There's nothing to see, really. He'll be fine.
John wasn't so sure. He looked into the back of the ambulance and saw his uncle lift one thumb, weakly. He was trying to say that he was okay.
You stay here, Mimi told John as she got into the ambulance. We'll be back soon enough.
John watched the ambulance drive off, and then he was on his own. He didn't even think about going up to his bedroom. After several long hours of nervous waiting, he fell asleep on the sofa. It was the middle of the night when the sound of the front door woke him. Mimi had returned from the hospital alone.
Mimi?
When she turned, John saw that her eyes were red. She had been crying.
Mimi never cried.
He's dead,
she said simply. John gave a strange laugh. He couldn't stop himself. She was joking, wasn't she? She had to be. Mimi walked past him into the kitchen and began to wash up. Then it hit John. It was true. His uncle was dead. He went to put his arms around Mimi. Hot tears were in his eyes. Mimi patted his head quickly.
Please, let's not be silly, she said. If you want to cry, go to your room.
She turned back to the washing up.
It's just the two of us now, so let's get on with it.
John did want to cry. He wanted Mimi to hold him. Instead, he stood next to her in silence and began to dry the dishes. It was the first funeral John had ever been to. He felt uncomfortable in his black suit and tie. As she stood at the grave, Mimi kept her head high and held back the tears. For John, it was hard to believe that they were putting his uncle's body into the ground. He looked around. A short distance behind them, a woman with red hair was watching the funeral.
Her eyes met John's, and she smiled sadly. John watched as she turned and slowly walked away. He had recognised her immediately. Later, everyone went back to the house. While all the adults were inside, John and his cousin Stan talked in the garden. "Do you want to go to Blackpool tomorrow?" Stan asked. "We could go on some rides at the fair." "You don't need to look after me, Stan," said John quietly. "I know. I'm just asking about Blackpool." Stan paused. "He was my uncle too." "Yes, but he was more than just an uncle to me, wasn't he?" John was quiet for a moment. Then he turned to his cousin. "You saw her too, right?" he said. "The woman with the red hair." Stan nodded. John went on. "Why isn't she here now?" "She was busy, apparently. That's what Mimi said." Stan looked at his cousin. "Anyway, you should call her Mum, the woman with the red hair." John didn't answer. Yes, the woman with red hair was his mother, but she hadn't been Mum to him for a long time. John lay on his bed and thought. A memory kept coming back to him. How old had he been? 4? No more than 5. He was standing in the hall, and there was someone outside the front door. A woman. A woman with red hair. She could see him through the thick glass. She hit her hand against the glass urgently. "John!" she shouted. Her voice sounded sad, afraid, but John didn't know why. Suddenly, his Aunt Mimi appeared and carried him out of the hall and away from the woman with the red hair, away from his mother.